Today's sponsor, W Films. W Films is a full-service video production company located in Lewis, Delaware. Need help getting your message out on social media? How about creating a brand film for your company's website? W Films experts can help you create the perfect video and help you get the social media attention you've been looking for. W Films also specializes in marketing materials for real estate. They can provide cinematic video tour, HDR photography, and a fully immersive 360-degree tour to help your property get sold faster and for more money. To find out more, go to wfilmsmedia.com or call 302-569-0725. 302-569-0725. Everyone has a story. Let us tell yours. All right, welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing a local podcast. Good morning. It is May 14th, 2022, on a foggy, sort of warm day. We've had some hella weather, hella winds, but it seems like we're getting back to normal, hopefully. It's supposed to be 80s the next weekend. So, you know, right on schedule. But anyway, I thought I would just check in and see what's happening. Everything is going just fine. Yesterday was Friday, the night that I usually go to a meeting. And it also was my wife's birthday, so we decided to go out. And we ended up at a casino. We went there for dinner, great restaurant, and then we decided we would go do a little gambling. And we had a lot of fun. We played the penny slots, which are basically the one-armed bandit machines, so to speak. They've come a long way, right? I remember going to Vegas when I was like 21 and, you know, pulling the one-armed bandits. And now they're basically just video games, which was cool. We won and we lost and we won and we lost. I think at the end, after it was all said and done, I think we lost $75, which I took 300 just because I wanted to have fun and take my wife out and try to do something that we usually typically would not do, which is go to a casino. So, but didn't spend all that money. We got our fill. We had a little fun. I actually won on one game, won $87. But, you know, in the end, we didn't come away positive. We lost probably about $75. But, you know, I've talked about this on this podcast, gambling and you know, the downfalls of it. And one thing I realized last night is I just am not a gambler. I mean, we had fun. You know, the machines are built in such a way that, you know, it's like playing video games, and they do a lot of cool different things. The first time I ever experienced, you know, the slot machines, it was, you know, you pull the arm and they spin, and I think if you got three in a row or some sort of series of three of something, you may win. And then I think they started doing crisscross, and then they started, and now, boy, I was telling my wife, I go, I do not know what I'm doing. I just kept hitting, you know, spin, right? Spin, same bet, spin, same bet. I had no idea what was going on. But it was fun. But I'm not a big fan of it still, you know? And it's interesting because it's all, you know, it all falls under some sort of addiction, I would imagine. And it's funny how, like, you know, alcohol and drugs were the ones for me, but not gambling, not food, not, you know, I don't know about sex. I think we all love the sex, but, you know, not obsessed with money. It's just, it was always just kind of, actually, it was just alcohol. But, you know, some people suffer from the same sort of torment that I do if I was to drink, as if they were to bet. And I'm, you know, good, bad, I don't know. I'm glad we had fun. I don't think we'll be heading back there. You know, we both kept, because my wife is sober as well, and we both kept reminding ourselves, hey, this is fun, but this isn't a place for us. And she was right. A lot of flashing lights. But it's interesting, all the people that are in there, right, just gambling. And they had the tables, but I don't even know how to play cards. I mean, I, you know, I played Gin Rummy and stuff, but I don't know how, you know, those cards play. So we didn't even bother. I didn't bother with the roulette. We just played the penny slots, and we got a little fun, had a little fun, got a little gambling under our belt, and then we got the hell out of there. And it was a great evening. And, you know, I think I don't recommend it, especially if, you know, somebody out there, even I don't recommend it for me to go back anytime soon. But we had a lot of fun and just very grateful. Unfortunately, lost $75, but, you know, what are you going to do? Yeah, so that's the latest thing we did. The week's been good. A lot of great stuff going on. You know, just benefiting every day from the fact that, you know, we don't drink and we do not use drugs, and just so grateful for that because, you know, there's a person, it's funny, I you know, in the business I'm in, I see all sorts of different people, and I saw a guy this morning that reminded me a lot of myself back in the day. Just, I won't say he's making every effort to not work, but he's got a lot of money riding on Bitcoin, right? And if you've been following cryptocurrency in the last week or so, you know that cryptocurrency has taken a major dive. And a buddy of mine bought $40 worth of these TrueCoin or whatever it was. And 2 weeks ago, it would have been worth $50,000. And yesterday, I think he bought $40 worth. It went from $50,000 to $40. And, you know, cryptocurrency is one of those things. And if you're alive and you have eyes and ears and you know people, more than likely you've been approached about getting into cryptocurrency. It almost seemed like if you weren't in cryptocurrency, you were an idiot. And I remember a buddy of mine, he's like, yeah, I buy $15 worth of cryptocurrency every week or something. And I think the total, he's like, yeah, I think I had like $7,000 initially, and now I'm up to like $70,000. And the problem is, though, is when it keeps going up, it's like, how do you get out, right? It's like, do I want to get out and then miss out? So people hang in there, and then finally it starts, you know, doing whatever it did. I do know a little bit about kind of what happened, but not enough to try to share it on this podcast. But, you know, greed gets involved. And I think that's kind of what started to undermine this cryptocurrency sort of situation, where people, you know, looking for the loops and trying to figure out how to make, you know, if you can make 5 cents on a trade, but you can do it with $1 million, you can make some money. I don't personally have that kind of money to do that with, or even would do that with, but there are folks out there that are good at it. And, but I just never understood it. And, you know, my wife and I were talking about it last night. You know, we got involved in some projects. I got involved in a project some years ago, and it was a money grab. I mean, it was a great business. It seemed like a win-win, and we went for it. The problem is that the person that was involved with it was kind of crazy, and I looked past that. You know, I've even shared that this story on this podcast before. You know, there was a situation, the person that was doing it was out of their mind, and I went with it anyway because I was trying to make a quick buck. And if we had done it correctly and everything would have gone well, we would have done fine. But it's a tough business. And, you know, when it all fell through and you know, money was lost and, you know, fingers were pointed, you know, it was real easy to point my finger at this person and blame this person. But as long as that I did that, as long as I did that, I was a victim of it. And I had to basically figure out the part that I played. And it's almost like doing that fourth step, right? You know, and I talked about it the other day, that fifth step, that, you know, sobriety and peace of mind. You know, I was sober, but at the moment, I did not have a peace of mind. And I had to almost do like a four step for the whole thing and figure out, you know, what part did I play? I had to become accountable. I had to figure it out. And what I figured out is that I was greedy. You know, my father always used to tell me, if it sounds too good to be true, if it looks too good to be true, it more than likely, it's just too good to be true. And that's what happened with that business I tried to create. My motivation was completely wrong. It was all money motivated and didn't work out. And when it all ended up falling flat, until I decided to become accountable for the role I played, I was a victim. And when I did that, took a hard look at it, realized what I did, then I could have some peace of mind with it, you know, like, oh, all right, well, that's what you get, Tom. You should have never done that. And but, you know, if you don't do that, those things are like anchors, right? Those things you drag around like a fucking anchor. And, I mean, how many anchors can you drag around, right, on one leg? One, two, three. And then the weight of the anchors becomes so heavy that you just basically stop progressing in life. It's not good. And so, you know, super grateful. Another reason I'm grateful for this program, and it isn't just about not drinking. It's the thinking part. And very appreciative. We began. I love that. My boys are back on tour. The band Pearl Jam started their North American tour the other night. I think they started in San Diego. Great band. Love Pearl Jam. Love to see them out there doing it. Really, you know, one of many bands that got pounded by this pandemic and everything that goes along with the band, the crews, and everything that gets that circus going, you know, has all been out of work. So, you know, it's good to see them going. They played Oakland the other night, and the drummer, Matt Cameron, somehow got COVID-19, and he couldn't play. And Eddie Vedder, the singer for Pearl Jam, comes out on stage, and he goes, listen, we could not cancel. We could not postpone. We are doing this. You know, we got a lot of people out here. And so they brought in a couple other drummers, and Josh Klinghoffer played drums for a couple songs, and it was just... it was awesome. That's what I did last night. I watched clips from the Pearl Jam tour, which is taking place right now. And, you know, it's funny. It's kind of an interesting, you know, if we're going to talk about like being a victim and, you know, accountability and all this stuff, you know, it can be something as weird as that, a Pearl Jam concert. You know, I've been a fan of the band for... ever since the band started back in whatever, 89 or whatever it was. And as soon as I was able to go see Pearl Jam in concert, I have seen them. And I've probably been able to see the band maybe 9 times. My buddy Corporate, he saw them. I mean, I think he's seen them up to almost 50 times. I mean, there's a big group of people that love to follow this band around. And so they used to come into town, and every time they came to town, anytime they came on the East Coast, whether it was Camden, Philly, New York, D.C., Basically, anywhere in those four areas, I would try to get tickets. And I used to get tickets. Joined the fan club, had a low number. Used to get tickets every year, no problem. And, you know, they've gotten bigger and bigger and more popular and more popular. And then the fan club thing started to change and it became difficult to get tickets and started getting denied. In fact, on this tour, this was the first year I was denied a ticket. And, you know, I opened up a whole can of worms with me. You know, I'm like, you know, what the fuck? I've been with this band since the beginning. And, you know, so I was like, forget it. You know, I'm not going to go see them. I don't care. And I just kind of had like a weird attitude about it. And this is my favorite band. Pearl Jam has been the theme of my life for the last 30 years. And the good times and the bad. I can remember being in jail when when Versus was released. I wasn't even out to get the album. And when I got out, I was able to get the new album and just loved it. And just have always loved this band. And, you know, through COVID and all the different things, it's just, I don't know. And I've had a little resentment. And for one, I couldn't get tickets. They're not really playing much on the East Coast. I think they played up in New York, and I think they're going to play Baltimore. But, you know, I'm hoping they'll come back through and really give the East Coast the proper attention that it deserves. But as of this point, nah, it isn't happening. And so I've kind of had a chip on my shoulder about the whole freaking thing, quite honestly. And, you know, but if I'm going to take a hard look at it, you know, I love seeing Pearl Jam. I love getting tickets when it was convenient, right, when it worked out for me. The problem with bands like that is they do get more popular. And I've actually kind of feel like they become almost one of those, like a Bruce Springsteen, right? I mean, even though they're two different bands, two different eras, but, you know, you go see Bruce Springsteen, it's almost like a thing, right? You know, that's something that you chalk off as like a bucket list sort of thing. And I feel like Pearl Jam's now becoming sort of like a bucket list, even though they're an excellent band and everybody that goes there probably absolutely loves them. But this is what I'm saying in my mind, right? And, you know, but I didn't really put a lot of effort into getting the tickets this year. I mean, I tried once, it didn't happen. And then with the pandemic and the uncertainty, I just kind of sat on my hands on the whole thing. And now here I am, no tickets, don't get to go to any shows. And, you know, I was kind of dragging that fucking weird anchor around, the old Pearl Jam anchor. And last night, we went out and had, you know, hung out and got home. And then I just kind of dove into YouTube and all the videos that are up now of the clips of the, you know, this newest tour. And, man, the band is awesome. Fucking killing it. And I'm so jealous. But I had, you know, I had to kind of work that out last night. And I was slowly, slightly turning on my favorite band in the entire world. And I had to do a little four-step on it, figure out the part I played. I can't be a victim to another band's success, you know. They get better, and then I start saying, you know, what about me and what all this bullshit. So, and this is, you know, minor thing, right? Am I going to drink over this? No. But it's just, it really shows a light that I can manage all of my problems, you know, as much as me not getting to see my favorite band in the world, Pearl Jam, is an issue. It isn't the end of the world. And if I really, really had made more effort, I probably could have gotten a ticket. The other thing is that in the past, and I think this is happening with everything, is that, you know, in the past, if I couldn't get a ticket, I could probably get one through Ticketmaster, you know, $100, $175 a ticket, maybe $200 a ticket, I don't know, but the tickets now are like $800 a piece. It is absurd, the price of things now. And they've just priced right out of my window, right? I can't afford. I remember I took my stepdaughter to see Mumford & Sons, and we paid $700. It may have been $280 a ticket plus taxes and service charges and all this other stuff. And it was a $700 show. And it was great. Big fan of Mumford & Sons, a big fan that I was able to take her. She loved it. She was a big fan of the band. So it was good, but that was a lot. That was a hit right there. And so that annoyed me too, right? And that really isn't my fault. I really didn't play any role in that. I think that's just life and where we're at today. But I don't know. But it was bugging me. And I was watching some Dave Matthews the other night. Dave Matthews, I think it was live in Central Park. Great show. And I'm like, this is the greatest band ever. Which I only would have said about Pearl Jam. Even though Dave Matthews is right there. First and second and first, one of the two. Big fans of both those bands. But, you know, I bleed Pearl Jam. And I made that statement the other night. I'm like, this is the greatest band ever. Like, I'm done with Pearl Jam. And watching Eddie and the boys take the stage at the Forum. And if you are a Pearl Jam fan, if you are, well, the fact I can't get tickets, you must be, right? But if you are, go on YouTube and check out the Forum. There's a guy that shot the whole show in 4K. Just awesome. And, you know, for a guy like me who's been following Eddie Vedder, to me, Eddie Vedder is one of the greatest singers ever. His voice is just timeless, awesome. And, you know, but my boy's getting old, right? He's getting older. We're all getting older. And so there's always this fear of, like, is he going to start to fail? And, you know, just recently, I grew up as a kid, big, big Bon Jovi fan, way before Pearl Jam. And John Bon Jovi's a little bit under the spotlight right now because people are criticizing his voice. And I watched the videos. He's struggling a bit. I mean, you know, it's his job. I mean, what are you going to do? He's just trying to do the best he can. Love Bon Jovi. Hang in there, John Bon Jovi. But his voice is struggling. And, you know, I quietly worry that's going to happen to my boy Eddie Vedder. And, man, he took the stage. Voice is strong. Sounds awesome. And, you know, you can tell he's getting a little older, those high pitches and the real tough notes that none of us could ever hit, only Eddie Vedder could hit. Now he's starting. Age has made him a little more mortal, I guess. And so, but the crowd will help him out. That's one of the most emotional experiences I ever had was at a Pearl Jam concert at the Spectrum in Philadelphia before they took the Spectrum down. And we had the perfect seats. And if you've ever been to a Pearl Jam show or, you know, a Dave show or probably even a Bruce show, I mean, you know, the crowd knows all the words. And there's nothing more cooler. There's nothing cooler than listening to, you know, 20,000 people sing along to a Pearl Jam song, and it is just, it's an emotional experience, and, you know, just very cool. So it was just great to kind of, you know, stop in the tantrum, in the Pearl Jam tantrum yesterday, and dive back into my favorite band, and it was just great. So congratulations to Pearl Jam. You guys are killing it. I'll just follow you on YouTube this year, and I won't get too experience you live, but maybe next year or the next time I'll try a little harder. At least I know that that'll be the reason I'm not seeing Pearl Jam, not because Pearl Jam personally is uninviting me. And that's somehow kind of how I felt. And but you know, it's weird. You know, I call them anchors. I mean, how many anchors have I drug around in my life? You know, how many resentments? How many justified resentments? You know, those are some of the most dangerous anchors to carry around, because they will literally act just like an anchor. They will slow you down. All you do is focus on this damn thing around your foot that you can't move like you used to. You can't experience life like you used to because of this anchor that you're dragging around, or more than one. And one of the great things about the program for me is just learning about that, right? Whether I want to do anything about it is up to me. But just the fact that just to learn, like, oh, this is what I'm really doing? Or this is what's been going on? You know, these are the kind of things that, you know, that create depression and anxiety in people and me. You know, if I don't do something that I'm supposed to do, immediately that becomes an anchor. And then if I start to feel the effects of me not doing what I was supposed to do, this is all me dragging the anchor. And until I can say, all right, I didn't do what I was supposed to do. Let me do it. My fault, not yours. Does the anchor get released from my foot? And then I can proceed to go through life. And, you know, I shared about this the other day, about this affair that I had with alcohol. And, you know, the fact that once I got sober and I'd stopped drinking, that secretly inside, I missed it. Secretly inside, I wish I could still do it. I think, and I was talking to my wife about it, and she's like, yeah, I would think, I've always thought that if I ever admitted that I still missed it, that that was wrong. And I go, I don't think so. I think that, you know, I think we can carry a lot of guilt and shame privately when we miss something. I think it's whether it's a relationship, a job, or, you know, a behavior that we did for a long time. Whether it's, I know I've shared on this podcast, I miss smoking. I love cigarettes. I don't like the way they taste. I don't like the way they make my lungs feel. I don't like the way that they make me struggle with cardio. But everything else I love, right? I love the pack. I love lighting them. I love holding them. But if I had admitted that, what kind of a cigarette quitter am I if I quit cigarettes, but I admit that I still love them? Seems kind of strange. So I think a lot of people, whether it's cigarettes or other things, more the alcohol and the drugs, you know, I think were a bigger role in my life than cigarettes. But, you know, I miss drinking. And that doesn't mean, just because I miss it means that I can do it. It just means that I'm not going to be a victim of it. It just means that I'm not going to drag, you know, this thing around, my secret that I miss alcohol. You know, I admit it. I miss it. I loved it. I had a lot of fun with it. But in the end, I know that it just doesn't work for me. And that's a choice. I get to be sober. I don't have to be sober. I do not have to be sober. I don't. I can say, hey, listen, I don't want a family. I don't want to have a relationship with my children. I don't want to have a wife. I don't want to have my own business. I don't want to have clientele. I don't want to have relationships in the community. I don't want to, you know, wake up with a clear conscience. I can make a decision to choose not to have any of those things. I do not have to be sober. But I choose to want those things. I choose not even, you know what? I don't even choose to want those things. I choose to want to be available for whatever is coming my way, good or bad. You know, just because I got sober doesn't mean everything that happens in my life is good. You know, Pearl Jam, I've been sober a long time. Pearl Jam, me not getting Pearl Jam tickets, you know, for the last few weeks has been bad. Been very bad. But when I try to take a look at that, whether it's a Pearl Jam concert or losing customers or the rent going up or, you know, inflation or whatever it is, you know, these things do not have to drag me down for the rest of my life. And I'm really grateful for that. All right, let's see if I can read a daily reflections today. Does anybody else feel like this? Let's see. Daily reflections. All right, here we go. What will this say today? Except daily reflections, May 14th. All right. It's okay to be me. Time after time, newcomers have tried to keep to themselves certain facts about their lives. They have turned to easier methods, but they had not learned enough humility. Very good. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 7273. Humility sounds so much like humiliation, but it really is the ability to look at myself and Humility sounds so much like humiliation, but it really is the ability to look at myself and honestly accept what I find. I no longer need to be the smartest or dumbest or any other est. Finally, it is okay to be me. It is easier for me to accept myself if I share my whole life. If I cannot share in meetings, then I had better have a sponsor. Someone that whom I can share those certain facts that could lead me back to a drink or a drunk or death. I need to take all the steps. I need the fifth step to learn true humility. Easier methods do not work. Every time I was talking to someone the other day and they said, you should read the Daily Reflections first. And maybe you can share on that. And I was like, no, I don't want to do that. I like to try to sit down and just share what's going on in my life. And then I try to read the Daily Reflections at the end to see how it may intertwine with what I've been thinking. And every time it seems like it's the same thing. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. And that's, you know, reading that fifth step last week and talking about the fifth step was real. It was a confirmation of something that it kind of my eyes had opened to just a few years ago, which is this sobriety and peace of mind. You know, they don't, and I don't think they do it for a reason. They don't, there's no, it's our own journeys, right? I mean, all we really want to do is stop the damn drinking. But if you go in a little farther and start to work these steps, God, there's a lot of great stuff in there. And that's one of them, humility, the ability to look at ourselves, the ability to be accountable, the ability to take blame, the ability to realize what part I played and clean it up, right? Clean it up. And that is just such a gift. And, you know, there it is one more time right there in the old Daily Reflections. I hope everyone has a great day. Thanks for letting me share. Catch you later.